Now's the perfect time to get your Chevy ready for that next road trip with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. When it comes to service, no one knows your Chevy better. Chevy Drive Chicago. Schedule a service appointment at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer.
Let me say thank you again to the guy that is sitting in the studio with us, Les Paul, who put on an extraordinary show over at the House of Blues and then was nice enough to come on over to the radio station and hang out with us. And I think it's the goodies that Johnny made that is keeping him in the studio.
It's sure helping, I'll tell you that. It's very good.
You know, I thought to ask you, when was the last time you were in Chicago, Les?
It's been a long time. I've been back here to do a NAMM show or back here to do a guest. In fact, the last one I did was a disc jockey thing on WIND.
Is that right?
For a week. To replace
that's right.
Miller.
Wow. Howard Miller.
Howard Miller, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we were both over at WIND, and that station changed formats before we got...
Oh, my, this has been 20 years ago.
When we got married, so it's been a long time since you've been here.
They were in the Wrigley Building.
Ooh.
Oh, well, that's
WIND.
Yeah, because they had moved when we were working with them. They had moved about 3 blocks down the street here.
Yeah. That's the last time.
Yeah.
Ralph Atlas called me in Jersey, and he said, would you come back, Les, and do a week as a disc jockey? I said, I don't know. He says, yeah, come on back. We'll go out to the racetrack. We'll fool around. You know? And so I took over the show. And when I did, at that time, I had the commercials for Robert Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the first commercials I had to do was Carson Perry Scott, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I got in trouble real quick. I wasn't on an hour as a DJ for Howard when I said, if you have a chance on Sunday, why don't you go down to Carson Perry Scott and you'll see trucks after trucks coming in Sunday at night. And they're bringing in Robert Hall suits. And they're busy picking out the labels, the Robert Hall labels, and putting in Carson Perry Scott in there. So just don't get caught in the rain with that suit or you're dead. Well, the manager of WIND called up and says, you're fired. As of right now, you're fired.
Oh, no.
So I says, well, I'm going over. What is it, Old Town?
Yeah.
So I go over to Old Town. I says, well, it's time for me to get drunk. I just got fired. So I'm over there, and finally they found me. And Ralph Atlas is going up and down the streets, running around there, trying to find out where, having people run in every tavern to find me. And when they found me, he come out and he says, Ralph called up and says, Carson Perry Scott, the president, called up and says, that's great. And he loved it. And I got hired back.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And so Ralph,
it's also unheard of.
Oh, for me to start doing prank things, it was not good.
You know, we've talked a lot about your music. But I think conservatively, you could be described as a free spirit.
Oh,
Where did you get this whole free spirit attitude from?
I don't know. Mary and I were coming back from Hershey Park, and I'm driving up the New Jersey Turnpike, and I make a mistake. And I get off, and I'm going toward Bayonne. And Mary says, what are those lights? And I realize it's the Statue of Liberty. So I says, oh, that's a new nightclub that just opened up over there. I says, one of these days, remind me, I'll take you over there. She says, oh, and that was the end of it. Now, at the first turn I made and got back on the turnpike, and I didn't say anything to Mary. And so Rheingold Beer was having a big thing, and we were at the Hampshire House discussing how we're going to launch this whole campaign. And Capitol Records was there. A lot of women were there. And so we said, we're going to be working 2-3 days on this thing to iron everything out. And they said, president of Capitol says, why don't you take the gals and show them around New York? So Mary says, okay. And so she says, well, maybe I ought to call up and find out where the Statue of Liberty is. And they says, what do you mean? One of the people at the desk. She said, well, you know, they move it around the summer months. Les was telling me that the Statue of Liberty, they move it. They tow it around. And she says, I'd like to find out just where it is. Well, they looked at her like she would, and Mary says, you did. I says, yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah, devil. Yeah.
That's, I screwed the story up. The way it was, and I says it was a nightclub, and then Mary says, no, that's a Statue of Liberty. And I says, what month is it? That's the way it went. That's the way
it went. Because they're moving it around.
Yeah, and I says, well, that's because they tow it around during the summer months. That was it. I screwed it up.
It works either way.
I think I'm getting tired. That's
you are.
Yeah.
But you've got to tell a story. You teased everybody before 3 o'clock about learning this particular chord. I learned the E chord. You said.
Back in Waukesha, I only knew a couple of chords on the guitar. And this friend of mine, Harold, I said to him, hey, your old man's got a guitar. He says, yeah, but he don't want us to play it or anything. And I says, well, when he goes to work, why don't we just get it out and look around and see if we can find a third change in Darktown Strutter's Ball. I said, I keep craving that chord, and I don't know it. He says, okay. So he went over there, and his father was putting these big boots on to go into the malted food company where he cleaned the vats out and things. So he had these big rubber boots on, all the way up to his hips. Hip boots, I guess they call them, yeah. So we said, could we play the guitar? He says, no, don't touch it. So we waited until he left. When he left, we saw that he's gone, you know, walking to work. So we dashed into the closet, got the guitar out, and we're looking for that chord. I'm playing the piano, and Harold's trying to find it on the guitar, and we're going to find it. So we're looking for it, and we see these hip boots. The old man came back. So he took the guitar out of our hands, and he says, you're not going to get that chord. It's mine. So he tossed us out of the house. So we're out there with our swimming trunks, and we're walking away from the house, and says, I know that chord is there. But he says, you know, Dad. And I looked around. I says, you don't think. He says, he may have. There's smoke. It's July or August. Smoke coming out the chimney. We ran back to the basement. Father burned the guitar. He says, you're not going to get that chord.
Oh.
Wow.
That's a heavy one.
Yeah. Wow.
He played that chord. We knew it was there, but we didn't know where it was.
That's weird.
We wanted that chord. He says, you're not going to get it, and he burned the guitar.
So how many years was it before you got it?
Gene Autry come to town, and he played it. And I'm in the front row. And every time he'd play that chord, I'd go to write it down. My friend had a flashlight, Claude, and I'd put a dot there, and then I have to wait again. And while I was writing those things down, he says, Gene Autry says, wait a minute. He says, every time I hit that chord, a light goes on in the theater. And he hit the thing, and I'm immediately writing it down, and Claude says, I think we're on the air. So I said, what do you mean? He says, Gene Autry's talking about you. So Gene Autry says, what are you doing down there? And I said, I'm trying to learn that chord. So he says, come up on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Went up on the stage, and he says, do you play? And I says, a little. So he handed me the guitar, and I played, and of course, in my hometown, they're going to applaud. And that's how I got started.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Played in my hometown at the theater. Gene Autry asked me up on the stage.
Did you ever perform for any length of time with any other female singers before Mary?
K-Star.
Mm-hmm.
Connie Boswell.
Did you ever, a Doris Day?
Dinah Shore. Doris Day,
yeah,
absolutely.
Doris Day.
Oh, many.
Yeah, I thought Doris
and
Day.
And in the armed forces, that was my job.
Yeah.
I was a third person in the armed forces with Meredith Wilson. And when I was inducted in the Army, I was going with Glenn Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, would you like to come with the armed forces? And I said, well, sure, I'd love to. He says, you can live right there in Hollywood. I was, of all things, lived on the same street in the armed forces. My house was just down the block. Up the block. All I had to do was kick the brake off and coast to work. One block away.
Wow.
In the armed forces, my job was to play for Dinah Shore, Kate Smith, for the Andrews sisters, W.C. Fields.
Oh.
And in fact, I made the only records of W.C. Fields, period. The only recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Played guitar and piano.
Hmm. Was he a son of a gun?
Oh, he was a funny guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did these army shows, you know, and they were so great because he'd come in really bombed with a coat on, a long overcoat. We wondered why he had an overcoat. What?
In L.A.
We don't know. Yeah, in L.A. Why? Oh, we don't know. And he had a saw underneath.
Huh?
And when he was on with Edgar Bergen, Bergman.
And Charlie McCarthy?
Yeah, he grabbed him by the neck and took the saw out, right?
Oh, no.
And I'll tell you right now, Edgar has no sense of humor at all.
You don't mess with Charlie.
Not with a saw. Oh, W.C. Fields was a funny,
That's
funny
like putting
guy.
A gun to the head of your child.
Oh,
you know?
yeah.
Oh, that is strange.
Yeah. Oh,
he was probably a loose cannon. And this may be a case of his image was truer than...
The armed forces was so interesting because I couldn't get to meet all these people that walked up to that microphone, the Groucho Marx and all the great people, Gary Cooper. And so I thought of an idea. I didn't say anything to Meredith or anything. I just took the guitar pick, threw it out by the mic. And Jack Benny come walking out looking at his script. He looked down, see something shining, he'd pick it up, and it's a guitar pick. What would you do if you were Jack Benny and you picked up a guitar pick? You look at the guitar player, wouldn't you?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He did. He come over to me, he says, is this yours? And I started talking to Jack Benny, telling him how much I enjoyed him and wanted to meet him for so long. And Meredith kept saying, everybody that walks in here ends up talking to Les first. What the hell's he got going, right? So Meredith, one day, he walks in and up to the podium, and he sees that thing shiny, and he brings it over to me. And he says, is this yours, Les? I says, thank you, Meredith. So a little while later, same thing happens. I throw the pick out. Meredith picks it up again. So I says, Meredith, you're screwing me up. I says, how am I going to get to talk to these people if you pick up my pick?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, is that what you're doing? I said, yeah. So he says, well, throw the pick out. I don't know this guy either. He says, introduce me to him, right? And that's how I was fishing for...
That's a great bit.
Getting the guys to come over and talk to me.
Hey, you could also...
I have to remember that.
You can meet the girls that way, too.
Sure.
Guys
that
don't take notes.
I don't know if that works. But I did work for the Dinah Shores and the Kate Smith. And one time I was late with Kate Smith, and she says, where is that character? And she's cussing me out, and I hear her. And so I said, oh, my goodness, am I going to catch hell for this? So what I did is I went to a candy machine, and I bought four candy bars. And I says, gee, I'm sorry I'm late, Kate, but I says, I was looking all over for some candy bars for you. And she says, how did you know I was dying to get something to eat?
And you I are got one out smart
of, oh,
guy.
Oh, boy.
But I'm taking notes, you know, all these little gimmicks.
I played for so many, and it was wonderful.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah.
Some of the stories of Les Paul. And again, we remember him as someone who was not just a wonderful inventor, guitar player, but always gave you a reason to smile. Just had terrific stories.
And we were saying earlier that we probably have the 30, 40 hours worth of conversations with him on the air. And it was rare that he ever repeated a story.
Yeah.
It's as though he knew. That in fact, I think occasionally he'd say, well, now, once I did tell you about this.
Yeah.
He had that recall that he'd actually told a story. Because we would have, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he would just be talking and talking. And I thought, wow, he was in his element. So I had to chuckle in that last piece that we heard where he says, I think I'm getting tired. And I remember at that time thinking, no, I don't think so.